Welcome to Family Law Talk.
Family Law Talk.
Presented by Kirk Stange of Stange Law Firm, PC. Stange Law Firm is a multi-state family law firm. Now, here's your host, Kirk Stange.
Welcome to Family Law Talk. We have an interesting topic today. The topic is when to litigate. In this episode today is based on an article on our blog, BloomingtonILDivorceBlog.com, dated February 2nd, 2024. And the title of that blog article is When is Litigation the Right Option? So as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over and read the article titled When is Litigation the Right Option? It'll give you more information on this topic for those seeking it, and it'll definitely give you some more information. But let's go ahead and jump into the topic at hand, and that is when to litigate. Most individuals do not want to litigate. They seek a settlement to their divorce or family law matter. The reality is most individuals, if they're reasonable, if they're cautious, if they're prudent, they want to have enjoyment out of life. The last thing they want to do is be in the family court litigating their case. Most individuals want to settle, but the truth is sometimes that's not plausible. It's not possible. And the only way to really get there is to reach a bad settlement, which ultimately can be an impediment for a person in terms of enjoying time with their kids or being on a financially sound footing, let's say. And so settlement just not an option. So in terms of when to litigate, well, look, the most common type of case that has to be litigated is a contested case. A contested case is where parties do not agree on the outcome of the case at hand. So take a divorce. Okay, in some divorce actions, one party might want the divorce and the other might not want the divorce, and we call that a contested divorce. But in some divorce actions, one party wants a divorce and the other party wants it too, and so it's not contested in a technical sense. But the problem is the parties still do not agree on the outcome itself. So maybe they don't agree on how marital property and debt is going to be divided. Maybe they don't agree on child custody, and that includes legal custody and physical custody. I know in Illinois, the terms used over there are a little bit different, allocation of parental responsibilities and parenting time, but we're talking basically the same thing. And so parties oftentimes aren't able to agree. Could be child support, spousal support, or the payment of attorney fees. And where parties can't reach a middle road, if they can't settle, these are the cases that have to be put in the hands of a judge. They're contested cases, okay? And so the only way to really resolve a contested case is for one party to capitulate, for the parties to meet in the middle somewhere, which is the hope for most individuals, or the judge has to decide and the case has to be litigated, all right? But to sort of piggyback on this further, oftentimes folks wonder what types of cases need to be litigated. And again, I'm painting with a broad brush. There could be other circumstances out there as well that could really call for a case to be litigated. But take cases where parties aren't able to reach solutions or maybe they can't speak with each other. That could make it very difficult to settle a case. And this could even include the attorneys. In cases where attorneys don't work together well, they're not trying to seek out a settlement. They're not trying to reach a middle road. In these kinds of cases, unfortunately, settlement is very hard and cases often have to be litigated. Another circumstance is where one spouse is unwilling to make any compromises or discuss important matters. In other words, they just want things the way they want them. Whether it's reasonable, whether it's fair, they just want what they want. And it's hard to settle with somebody who just wants certain things. They don't move off it. And even if you try to compromise with them, you know, they'll move off these compromises quickly. And these kinds of circumstances, unfortunately, it oftentimes has to be put in the hands of the judge because you can't settle with somebody who's not willing to compromise on important matters. All right. Another situation where litigation might be needed is where one party has more financial resources than you. And where the other party has more financial resources, oftentimes they can become more unfair in the negotiations, more unreasonable. And they think that, you know, look, ultimately they can break you by litigating this case. And so for individuals in this circumstance, unfortunately, the only real solution is to either capitulate or litigate the case and hope that the judge does better. So this is a common reason why lots of cases have to be litigated. Let's say you're facing unfair property division, spousal support, or child support request. So the other party's just not putting stuff on the table that's fair and reasonable. It's not within the realm of what the judge would do. So in these kinds of circumstances where a party is presented with settlement offers that are outside the realm of fair and reasonable, it oftentimes makes sense to try the case, because why would you agree to something that the judge wouldn't even do if the case went to trial? Okay, obviously nobody knows for sure what a judge is going to do, but most of the time attorneys know within a range generally what a judge would or would not do. And so in a circumstance where the offers are outside of that range, why settle? Why not just litigate? Sometimes a spouse might purposely drag out discussions out of spite or manipulation. They like to keep the drama going. Unfortunately, in these kinds of circumstances, litigation can often be unavoidable. It can also be the case where one party is emotionally abusive, maybe financially abusive. And in these kinds of circumstances, it can be very difficult to settle with somebody. Another circumstance that often results in litigation is where one party feels as if they are in danger or their kids are in danger. And so obviously to protect themselves and to protect their kids, oftentimes litigation might be the only option that's out there. Now look, lots of individuals ask, well, what are the downsides to litigation? And look, they're numerous. There are lots of downsides to litigating. And any party who's going to litigate has to take these into account, okay? So higher attorney fees and court costs. Obviously, if you litigate a case, it's going to cost dramatically more. And so a lot more attorney fees and court costs. Obviously, the process also takes longer. If parties can settle, the case can often be done much quicker. But if you got to wait for a trial date, it can take many months, sometimes more than a year even. Litigation requires that the court's availability come into play. So you can only have motions heard and trials conducted based on the judge's schedule. Lots of judges are very busy, very backed up, and that can cause the process to be much longer. Another downside of litigation is the stress, the anxiety of it. You know, having to go into court, being worried about what a judge may or may not do can be very stressful for a lot of individuals, and that is obviously a downside to litigation for those who really struggle managing their stress level during litigation. Obviously, litigation can be hard on the kids, and that's particularly true where kids end up having to testify or become involved in the proceedings. It can be a very detrimental thing on the kids. Another downside to litigation is proceedings in many respects are public record. Now, there's some exceptions in the family law sphere, obviously paternity cases, juvenile cases. Those cases are typically confidential, but check with a lawyer in your jurisdiction who can enlighten you on how it works in your specific locality. But the publicness can be tough, and certainly divorce and family law matters can sometimes hit the press, get media attention, and that can be a big downside to litigating a divorce or family law matter. Lots of individuals then ask, well, what happens when a case goes to trial? Like, how does this work? Well, again, every jurisdiction is different. Every court might handle this a little bit differently, okay? So speak with a lawyer who's licensed to practice law in your jurisdiction, but in a general sense, there's a petitioner and there's a respondent. The petitioner is the individual who filed the case first. The respondent is responding to it. Typically the petitioner goes first to trial, and this would be the case in a divorce, let's say, and they would put on all their evidence, call their witnesses, and present their case, and the respondent would cross-examine these witnesses at trial. At the conclusion of the petitioner's case, the respondent then puts on their evidence, calls their witnesses, and then the petitioner is able to cross-examine those witnesses. If there's a guardian ad litem, they might be able to call witnesses and present evidence as well. And then at the conclusion, the judge has to make a decision. Now, some judges will allow an opening statement and a closing statement as part of a case, and that's going to vary by the jurisdiction as well. But at the conclusion of the case, the court has to weigh the evidence, apply the statutory factors, and come up with a decision. And trials in a divorce or family law matter can vary in terms of the time length. It could be a few hour trial, it could be a day, it could be multiple days. It just depends on the case and the complexity. All right. Lots of individuals ask, is it better to be the petitioner or the respondent in these kinds of cases? And what I've always told individuals for years is that it depends. There's not a black or white rule, but let me give you some of the pros to being the petitioner, which is you can choose the county in which the case is filed in. So in some cases, there might be a question about County A or County B. And petitioner, if they file it first in a particular county and they want it in that county, that could be an advantage to filing first. Petitioners also get to go first at trial, as I said before. There can be an advantage in some circumstances to really issue framing the case, presenting your evidence first before the court. And so that might be advantageous. Also, if you're filing first, you have time before you file to find an attorney. So maybe you're not in such a rush. Maybe you can take your time, meet multiple attorneys, and make your decision, okay? So these would just be the pros. In terms of the cons or what the pros would be for the respondent, look, being the respondent can have some advantages. Sometimes it can be better to counterpunch. Sometimes it can be better to hear the other side's evidence and testimony and then call your own witnesses after the fact, okay? If an individual doesn't want a divorce, let's say, they can also file an answer that denies the marriage is irretrievably broken, let's say, or they can seek to dismiss the case if they don't want the litigation to be filed to begin with. So these could be advantages to being the respondent, all right? Lots of individuals past this ask, well, how long can a case take? How long can it be drug out, let's say? And look, this can be very different based on the court, the jurisdiction, the judge, the issues in the case. But oftentimes, in order to get a trial date, it can take many months. Sometimes it can take more than a year. And so if a party's going to litigate a case, they have to dig in and know that it's going to take some time, and they've got to be able to deal with all the things I referenced above, the higher court cost, the longer process, the stress, anxiety, and they have to, bear all that and weigh it. As I said at the beginning, to resolve a case, which is what most parties want to do, it really requires either meeting in the middle, which is the preferred course of action, or for one party to simply capitulate. But for a lot of individuals, they don't want to capitulate and agree to things that are unfair, unreasonable, that the judge wouldn't even do. And so in these kinds of circumstances where parties can't meet in the middle, parties not willing to capitulate, then unfortunately, trying the case might be the only option. And so that is typically the time to litigate. So look, as a follow-up to the episode today, go on over to bloomingtonildivorceblog.com, read the article titled, When is Litigation the Right Option? It'll give you more information on this topic. But I appreciate you all tuning in today. Stay tuned to our next episode on Family Law Talk coming up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Family Law Talk with Kirk Stange. Visit StangeLawFirm.com for more about today's topic or to put Stange Law Firm to work for your family today. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Neither the Supreme Court of Missouri or Illinois reviews or approves certifying organizations or specialist designations. The information you obtained in this podcast is not, nor is it intended to be, legal advice. You should consult an attorney for advice regarding your individual situation. We invite you to contact us and welcome your calls, letters, and electronic mail. Contacting us does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not send any confidential information to us until such time as an attorney-client relationship has been established. Past results afford no guarantee of future results, and every case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Kirk Stange is responsible for the content. Headquarters, Office, 120 South Central Avenue, Suite 450, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. Kirk Stange is licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Kansas.